Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and tonight we're going to continue with our series on the crystal skulls because we have this amazing major conference coming up next week on October 9th and 10th in New York City with a bunch of crystal skull guardians and Mayan elders and many people talking about this transformation in consciousness that we are now in. I really feel we are in this, in the motion of a new world awakening. And tonight's guest is Jaap van Eeten, who's going to be the master of ceremonies at that conference. So welcome, Jaap.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I think one of the reasons I heard you're involved is because you have a very good scientific understanding of what these crystal skulls are about. Can you, they're ancient artifacts, the ones that will be coming to New York, and can you talk a little bit about the science behind it, and then we can get into the mystical elements of the crystal skulls? But
yes, we can do that, but it's important to realize that when we talk about the scientific elements of it, that if you go to pure science, you know, which means the science according to the standard techniques, then we have a pretty short talk, because we can talk about the qualities of crystals and consequently crystal skulls. We know that there are certain characteristics that are connected with crystals. But if you really want to do research, then you have to do research that goes beyond the physical, which we call metaphysical. And that makes it also so difficult for the scientific world to accept them as important artifacts. Well, you may know that there is scientific research done on crystal skulls with respect to how have they been made, and I think many people have been talking about it, and you can then only look at all kinds of signals of the use of rotary tools on the different crystal skulls, but it never gives you any answer and ever any true understanding of what crystal skulls are. So when many people talk about me as the scientist, it is because I do what you call metaphysical research, and I apply all the traditions, because my background is a scientist, I apply the methodology to the metaphysical approach of studying crystal skulls.
Well, I'm very interested in metaphysics. I mean, I think science as we know it is on its way out, and I think the quantum revolution is bringing in a whole new understanding of what true science is, which has to do with a subjective experience. So in my inquiries and investigations into the metaphysics that we are now entering an age of, it seems like the idea of fields, that objects and people and beings emanate fields of energy, and that we as spiritual beings, as beings that have non-physical elements, are aware of these fields. And I think that's what the crystal skulls are working with, fields of consciousness. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. You know, what we discover more and more working with different people and also working with many different crystal skulls is that the fields can be, you can say, recognized as different layers of energy, different frequency bands, if you want, of energy. And all those different energy bands have the possibility of holding information. So many people believe that there is information actually in the crystal skull, and that is true. But that means that you have to bring them mainly holographic. But there is a lot of information connected with the field around them. And the more we learn how to work with crystal skulls, you can say, to use its potential, which we can call activation, what we will see is that more and more of those potential energy layers are beginning to become active, and with the activation, we are able to access all the information that is in there. one of the very interesting things with crystals in general and crystal skulls in particular is if you do not use them for a while, in one way or another, the energy system is beginning to die out, as I call it. The potential is still there, but it's not active. And what the beauty of this time frame is where we are living in now is that people are getting again that tremendous interest in what crystals and crystal skulls can do for us. So they begin to, I would almost say, relearn how to use the potential of that. So when we talk about accessing information in crystal skulls, what we actually are talking about is developing our abilities again so that we are able to access it. And in that sense, crystal skulls are wonderful tools in this time frame where we are seeing shifts in consciousness, where people are talking about expansion of consciousness. I prefer the term expansion of awareness because consciousness is infinite. But that whole process is really going on in many different ways, but the crystal skulls play a very, very important role in that. And if we then realize that working with crystal skulls is literally changing the way our brains are functioning so that we will be capable of processing more of that information, well, you may understand that that's one of the reasons why I can so be so excited about crystal skulls.
Well, then tell me two things. And how do you work with crystal skulls, and how does it affect the expansion of the brain? I mean, what's the science or the meta-science behind that?
The meta-science behind it is that, and I'm going to start with the brain first, that we have a brain which has basically five major frequency bands. You know, we give them names, Greek symbols, you know, like our normal daily activity, we call the beta activity, and relaxation is alpha, meditation goes into the theta and in the delta. And if you want to integrate information we achieve from all kinds of different sources, then we go into the gamma. This is pure science. You can measure the frequency ranges of brain when they are very active. Now, what we know is that when you go into a meditative state, you activate and train the brain to work more with those, they call it lower vibrations, the theta and the delta. Now, why is that important? What we call the theta frequencies helps us to access our subconsciousness, and the delta is helping us to access our higher consciousness. We need to activate those different aspects of the brain sufficiently in order to make them work in a more optimal way. It's the same way with our muscles. If you don't use them, they are less capable of doing their work, and the same is true for the brain. Well, in our society, we tend to work mainly with what we call the logic brain, the brain that says 1 and 1 is 2, which is what we call the beta frequencies. And that is how we have been trained in schools and at universities. That's what we are invited and basically are judged about in our work in the normal society. Well, in this time, we begin to realize that we need to do more meditation to activate those other parts of the brain so that we can access information that comes from what we call not the, let's say, daily physical world, but from the more subtle energy world, which is the world of consciousness. Well, the beauty of crystal skulls is that they have a number of characteristics. And the characteristics is that they bring us more easily, simply through the vibration that they contain, into a state of meditation. They stimulate that state. And with that, they stimulate the development of the brain to be more open for other sources of information. And we call that developing your psychic abilities. From my perspective, psychic abilities are natural.
So being in the presence of the crystal skull will open up the human brain for a greater sensitivity, you're saying?
Yes. But, you know, and here come we back to the, that word of activity. And now the level of activity of a crystal skull is also determining how strongly it will stimulate the whole process. So to put it very simple, when you work with your crystal skull, you will activate your crystal skull. In return, your crystal skull is activating your system, including your brain. You know, you can call it expansion of consciousness, awareness, balancing of your system so that it functions better. When you do that, you're capable of, again, more activating to a higher level your crystal skull, which in return brings your system. You get the picture? It is this up and down, this growing together. And what I discovered over time, you know, observing people that come to our meditations, we have weekly meditations in our house, and I see that people are literally beginning to expand more and more and begin to access, you can say, more of the potential of crystal skulls. Now, we need to, as I say, regain our abilities, how to work with those wonderful tools. And I think the people in the ancient times, and most likely some of the indigenous people even today, have the ability to access them to a much higher degree. For us, it's relearning. For the ancient people, it was a normal part of their, you can say, way of living. If we want to use the information of the ancient people in our process of shifting into a higher level of consciousness, we also need to learn how to work with the tools that they use, which means we have to change the way our awareness and consciousness is working, our brain is working, so that we are able to access that kind of information and process it. You know, it's accessing and processing.
That's exactly why I call this program New Realities, because I'm aware that we do have to shift the way we think, the way we process reality, because the old way is sort of being, it's over, it's worn out, it's we need something new that will stimulate our higher centers of awareness. And as you were talking, I just felt that the reason that they're in the shape of a skull, it's because it resonates with our skull, our human skull. I mean, and it's affecting our brain. I mean, there's a resonance in forms, a morphic resonance. Do you agree with that? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. You know, I think the reason that the ancient people chose that form is exactly as you said. It is because it is the matrix for, you can say, that system that holds the processing system, which is our brain. You know, so our skull and the crystal skulls have a certain resonance. As you may know, that bone, especially when it's dried, and there's still, you can, scientific debate whether or not live bone has the same qualities, but bone has piezoelectricity the same as quartz crystals have. So there is a lot of similarity. So when you activate a crystal skull, you activate also the skull itself. You know, and many people say that the skulls and the bones are holding information of the knowledge of the person that where the bones belong to. And you may know that the Tibetans are keeping or were keeping the skulls of the lamas that really were holding knowledge, and through sound and meditation they could access that information. And then we go into the same way as we tried through sound and light and meditation to access the information in the crystal skulls. There is a tremendous parallel there. And
right.
I think that the ancients also have chosen this form as a reminder, you know. Information is beautiful, but you need to process information. You need to work with information. And the only way we can do that is in this physical reality through the brain. Wherever the information comes from, at the moment that you want to give it form or direction, you know, you need still the brain to give the signals that allows our system to either talk about it, think about it, process it, or make plans to use it and apply it.
And one more important point I feel is that silicon is a higher octave of carbon, so
yeah,
the resonance with this higher frequency of elemental structures also raise our human potential.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think if you really go into the essence of the crystals, then you can say that when you go down in vibration from higher consciousness, before you hit the physical form, the last step is what they call electromagnetic energies. And some people define crystal as solidified electromagnetic energies, which means it's actually a pure form of consciousness into the physical form. Actually, it's the most pure form we can have. So if we are in our, let's say, our consciousness is not, let's say, always pure. We have had all kinds of inputs and impulses and are challenged by all kinds of belief structures. But the crystal consciousness is a pure consciousness. So it is another opportunity for us to, through resonance, to help us to go back to the purity. You can almost say to the essence of creation. And I think the crystals are the most beautiful gift of Mother Earth. And to have them, in addition, into the skull shape, where we add a whole frequency range of energies because we tap suddenly in that matrix we were just talking about. Wow, what a wonderful tools there are.
So let's like go really a little bit way out and just speculate maybe on who, where the first one, how old are they, and who do you think made them, and I mean, what were they downloading into those forms that they want us now to realize? So first, who and when, and then I mean, just... I mean, there's no way of proving any of it. I'm just curious of your opinion.
Yes. And you know, and it's good to call it. It's my opinion. We all have been searching for that answer, and you will get with the same question, of course, very different answers. You know, most of the crystal skulls that we know as being the ancient crystal skulls have been made in a time frame that the people were still able, and I go back to that activation where I was talking about, that people could work with crystals and crystal skulls in the most optimal way. What I mean with that, they were capable of still working with the full potential of crystal skulls. Well, and I'm now making a challenging comment. I haven't met yet anybody who can do that nowadays. I can't. And I haven't met anybody else. I'm still hoping one day to meet such a person so that I can learn from that person. So
to
we
learn,
lost
that.
Including,
what? What, do you, I mean,
sorry?
What do you want to learn from that? A person who can do what? I missed that.
To fully work with the full potential of the crystal skulls. With all the information that is there. There is nobody who can grasp a crystal skull and read all the information like a book. We can channel information, and all kinds of beings can use it as a transmission station to help us to understand, and it's beautiful that we can do that. But to read it as a book, and actually the information is there that can be read as a book, nobody can. I haven't met a person that can do that. Maybe there are some indigenous people, but they haven't come forward yet.
Okay.
So we are all searching for that. And in the old days, if you really look at the different energy layers that have been activated with the ancient crystal skulls, I know that they were capable of doing that. When they were programming information, they did that from the way their consciousness was working in those time frames. And we don't know how they were thinking. So we also don't know how they programmed the information, and that may be one of the reasons why we cannot access it. I don't know whether you're familiar with the holographic imaging that technology is using to put information into crystal. You know, they do that with a laser system. Well, the only way to get the information again out is using the exact right frequency with which you brought the information into that crystal, and otherwise it's not available. And that's the same is true for the information of the ancient people. You know, it's not available if you are not having the same way of thinking, of vibrating, I would say. So I know that the people who did that had that quality. That may be the ancestors of the current Mayans. But it may be that it goes way, way, way farther back. And many people speculate that it could be Atlantis because there is a strong belief that Atlantis has had the knowledge of all kinds of crystalline technologies. Well, the finding of the sphere in off the coast of Bimi in the temple, the Atlantean orb that will be also during the event available for people to see, that sphere has a programming and an energy for anyone who can feel that. It's obviously different. So we know that the people who were doing that were different. But if you compare that with the ancient crystal skulls, there is only one crystal skull that has that type of vibration. It is the Mitchell-Hedges skull. This is rather amazing because you may know that some people believe that the Mitchell-Hedges skull is not an ancient skull. Well, I believe it is.
Believe it is, too. I've been with the Mitchell-Hedges skull. And it's, so what you're saying, it feels similar to the Atlantean orb that will be in New York, which is...
Yeah. It has a similar type of vibrations. that indicate that it comes from sources that were working with crystals in a similar way. Yes.
Huh. Oh, well, I want to just remind people, if they're interested in making this kind of contact and seeing these crystal skulls, come to this event in New York, October 9th and 10th. At the FIT Conference Center, that's 28th Street and 7th Avenue in Manhattan, and it's going to be a whole day, two whole days. It's going to be very exciting. There's going to be lots of ancient skulls there, and the guardians and Mayan elders, and talks about 2012 and group activations. I think it's going to be an incredible event, Jaap. I'm really excited by it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've been at quite many, I would say many events compared with the number that have been held over time. And I think the uniqueness of what we are going to see in New York, and I will emphasize the word uniqueness, is never have I seen a gathering of the caretakers of the ancient crystal skulls on this level. And why is that important? Well, we begin to move into the time of shift. And
yes,
the legends of the Mayans say that crystal skulls need to come together. They believe it needs to be in Mayan land, but it may not be in Mayan land. The fact that they are already coming together, to my opinion, is already the beginning of the fulfilling of the prophecy. They are doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful step forward is that. And what is so beautiful is that several Mayan elders are willing to come to New York to support such an event because they believe it's important that this gathering is happening. That
mm-hmm.
makes it unbelievable and unique. That is besides
yeah.
the fact that just meeting certain crystal skulls is already a unique, unique experience. But to have that in this kind of gathering with all kinds of ceremonies and exchange and the possibility to connect with the different energies, yes, the word unique definitely applies.
So if people want to get tickets for that, I mean, I would order that online. I would go to the Edgar Cayce Center, nyc.org. That's the best place online to order a ticket for this event. It's something that's not to be missed, and it probably will not happen again in this way. Nothing ever does happen in the same way. But really, if you're on the East Coast anywhere or want to come here, be at the FIT Conference Center on October 9th and 10th for a spectacular, it will be a shift. It will be a shift in frequencies when these skulls come together. You can also look at the newrealities.com website and Oracle Stone Productions website. Any of those websites will have directions on how to get tickets for this crystal skull event. So let's talk a little bit about that, Jaap. If all these skulls have a sort of different frequency but similarities, What do you think will happen when we put them together? I mean, what do you expect?
Well, let me share with you first that we have been playing with, you know, let me start first. Every crystal skull has its own unique field. And if you take a skull like, let's take Synergy, for example, if you activate a skull like that, the energy field that it creates has a radius of more than 12 to 15 miles.
So,
really? Yes,
how do you activate that skull?
Yes. It goes that far out. You know, anybody who is working with energies or know how to douse could check this. You know, you can go and make an estimation and check with your dowsing rod where the energy ends. And it is around that. Well,
but how do you activate the field of that skull? What would you do?
You can douse it, you know, in the same way as people know how to douse the energy field of a human being, the aura, yes. You know, the only thing that you need to know is a little bit, you have to have some connection so that you know what to douse. But if you, for example, connect with Synergy and set your intent with your dowsing rod or your pendulum, you know, to follow this energy field till the edge, that's a good way to douse. Anybody
yes,
who
but
is...
How do you activate the skull to radiate a field like that? What do you have to do?
That is what we call the focus. You know, in my lecture, I will talk quite a bit about this because I'm very passionate about the different ways of activating skulls. And basically, there are different ways. You can use your brain and set an intent. You can simply make a connection from your heart, which makes it far more active. And you can train your whole system to become one with it, which is the most efficient system. Well, independent of your systems that you're using and that you're trained into, through your intent, you will always, to some degree, activate a crystal skull. So there are people who will only be able to, say, create a field of 5-6 miles, but still it's very impressive. So the more you work with them and the more you can use the full potential, the larger the field will be. In all honesty, I have no idea what the maximum radius is that a skull X energy can have. I don't know. Because I've never seen it in its total fullness and then checked it, so I don't know. We know from the Mitchell Hedges also that people were talking about 15 or more miles. Now, if you put a number of those skulls together, they start interacting with each other. They have done research on that one. They have taken photos of that. And what you see is that in that interaction, they create a combined field. That combined field will be larger than the individual fields of each of the crystal skulls that are contributing to that combined field. Now, you imagine that, and I'm talking about contemporary skulls, we have here about 119 skulls in a special setup. If we activate that, it goes way over 20 to 25 miles. Now we go back to New York. Here you have your ancient crystal skulls. Here are, let's say, a couple of hundred of people that during a ceremony all bring their attention to crystal skulls. You will create a field that is unbelievable. And that field will literally harmonize all the different grid systems that are in New York. It is a gift to the people of New York. And I would say people, even when people are not so much interested in crystal skulls, I think it's still an unbelievable event to participate in because you're basically creating a better environment for New York. I think that's the power of the crystal skulls. But that's the superpower of the gathering of the crystal skulls. I don't know whether you know, but in 2 years ago, we did a ceremony here in Sedona that we called the Gathering of the Crystal Skulls. And Synergy was there, and the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull was there. And the intent that I had set when I started this whole system was to bring the crystal skulls together. Well, Kendall has picked up on that one in his meditations, and that's how the 9-9 came into being and the 10-10 came into being. And I'm not the only one who has this dream and set into the attempt, let the crystal skulls come together. Now it's happening. And now we begin to understand the gifts for the people in the environment. And believe me, Alan, there are things happening with the crystal skulls and those fields that goes beyond my comprehension.
It does go beyond the comprehension. So let's just talk about that field again, and then we'll get Adam Yellow.
Yellowbird
on the line in a little bit. He'll join us in widening the discussion to talk about the native understanding of crystal skulls and also what they're up to at this time. But getting back to these fields, so saying they create a field is one thing, but it's a field that I feel of coherency and structure.
Yes.
Which allows people to have clearer thoughts and greater awareness. That's what I feel the importance of the field is, right?
Yes, I agree with that. You know, the beauty is when you have a proper intent, you always create coherent fields. It's there where you're not aligned in your purpose or your intent with a group of people, then you create incoherence, which is chaos that will not align systems. But the beauty is that when we all follow with a pure intent, coming from the heart as much as we can, and participate in the whole system, wow, we can create something very beautiful in New York.
So you say it might create something that we have no idea about, but it will, and I think you're right. I think setting a collective intention with a field of these skulls that are activating all of the human consciousness that's present in the room we can create something that hasn't existed before in a very positive way.
Yes. You know, and one of the things, because my other passion is studying earth energies and grid systems, you know, what we have seen is that already one single crystal skull placed on a vortex or an energy line is expanding that line considerably. Because most of the energies that we are talking about are actually earth energies. And the earth energies are also totally, you can almost say, balled together into a crystal. The crystal holds the earth energies. So as soon as we activate the crystal, we are actually saying we are then also activating the different systems that belong to the source of that crystal, which is Mother Earth. So all the grid systems that, and unfortunately, human cities diminish the natural energies. But our consciousness can reactivate that. Doing this on that scale, what we are doing in New York, will reactivate a lot of the grid systems there. And everyone in New York will benefit it, whether they do that consciously or unconsciously. It doesn't matter. And you may know that we know that research has shown that when enough people meditate, then it will have a positive effect. You know, the crime rate goes down, less accidents are happening. There's a lot of information. You can find it on the internet. But it is another way of describing the fact that meditation is rebalancing the natural systems of the earth, which allows everybody to harmonize in a better way with it. We still can overrule it. If we want to be negative, we can be. But normally, when people are normally not so aware, they still will be supported by the different grid systems that the earth provides.
Well, there's a woman named Shelley Yates who's coming, who's talking all about the grid system, because she had a vision of this human consciousness activating a new grid system. So she's part of this thing called Fire the Grid. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So Shelley's going to be there talking about what's coming to the earth and the grid system, and laying out the next step for the evolution of that grid system. And I think that'll be very, very exciting to have that presence there as well, to add to already to what the crystal skulls are doing in the Mayans. So we have the past, the present, and the future right there as a microcosm of metaphysical time space at this event in New York. And thing about New York is that New York, Manhattan, particularly where we'll be, is a grid. Its function is a grid. Of course, it's an artificial grid, but still, there's a structured coherence to the place that we'll be activating this energy out of. And I think that's exciting and needs to happen here for some reason.
Yes. And there is one thing that I like to add, you know, because you're mentioning the past. Well, the interesting thing is that many of the indigenous people are holding the knowledge that comes from the past. And so do the crystal skulls. So bringing them together is helping us in this now moment to integrate elements of the past so that we truly can move into the future. Because we cannot move forward if you're not willing to really embrace the past as well. And I'm not meaning the past and it's the old-fashioned thing. No, no, no. I'm talking about knowledge from the past that we need in the present to move into the future. And crystal skulls and indigenous people are the ones who have done every... Well, the crystal skulls automatically do it. But the indigenous people have tried to hold a lot of that ancient knowledge in their traditions, so that would be available for us at the moment that we were ready for it to integrate so that we can, let's say, collectively make that shift.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a good time to talk to Adam Yellowbird and talk more about what these ancient people had knowledge of and why they're here and why they're now coming out to remind us of who we are, you know? But tell me about the conference that you went to about the ancient people that this next guest had when last year. What went on there?
You mean the Return of the Ancestors?
Yes.
Adam, I'm sure, will passionately speak about that. But I think that's another beautiful example of the gathering. You know, what I call the gathering is something that needs to happen on many different levels. The people over time have split up in so many different directions that we have forgotten how to respect differences so that we can go to oneness. If we cannot respect differences between the different people, how can we ever, ever respect the diversity in ourselves, and how can we ever move truly forward? So the beauty of all, and I've done quite some work with Adam also earlier, where we both did gatherings and then looked at the effects it had on the energies of Sedona. And what we see is that all those gatherings, whether you do it with crystal skulls or you do it with ceremonies by the indigenous people, we see that the effect on the grid systems is very similar. So we obviously need new ways for the modern human being to also contribute to that. And it's so beautiful that Shelley Yates is doing her program, but we need to do that on a larger scale and more expensive. And
It's happening, and I think the 10-10-10, all these alignments of dates, 11-11-11, which she says, Shelley Yates, that will be the next activation of the grid of the earth with human consciousness, and we'll be able to set a new intention that will go beyond the past. It's happening. We are in the middle of the shift. You know,
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
The clutch is down, you know, when you shift the car, right? And we are going from third to fourth gear. And we're about to hit the super highway, and hold on to your seats, right?
Yes, and so, as long as we know that we have to be on this highway together, that is what I get really excited about. You know, not just only a few people. It's not for a minority. It's meant to be for the masses. You know, we need to be on that highway all together. But as always, there needs to always be somebody or some groups that are guiding that whole process. And gatherings that, like this one and the one that Adam did last year, where I'm sure he will share something about, all of those gatherings are really helping to bring back that unity that we need so badly.
Well, that's the key. So, hey, let me see if anyone in the studio. Hey, Don, can you hear me there? Let's see if we can get Adam on the line and add to this discussion about these ancient, this ancient knowledge that somehow the native people have kept a hold of through their oral traditions. You know, in the West, we've forgotten our oral tradition because we wrote everything down.
I agree with you. You know, and we have to be also very clear, you know, also the indigenous people have lost a lot of the knowledge, but they have enough of the knowledge to stimulate, I would say, the new people to move forward. Only when we start working together, we are not supposed to throw all the science out of the door, and some people say, oh, we have to go back to the native way of living or the indigenous way. No, it's finding a way in this time frame to keep the good of everything, to keep the good of the old days, the old knowledge that the indigenous people are still holding, to keep the good of our science, and to begin to integrate them into a new system. Because if we try any of the other systems, we already know it will lead nowhere. If you look around in Maya land, you see that most of the power and the beautiful constructions, even the knowledge about how to use that optimally, is already lost. So it's not in saying any of the systems have all the answers, but maybe when we all work together, we may be able to find the answers. And that is, for me, very important. That's why we are coming together in New York. That's why it's not only the minds and not only the people from the West who are trying to work with crystal skulls. No, we are coming together.
Right, and I think Adam is on the line, but the one thing I always want to say in response to that, and maybe as a welcome to Adam, is that the ancient still, or these indigenous cultures still remembered their connection to source, and and that's what's valuable about what they now bring into the picture. So, Adam, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone around the nation. Can you?
Thank you. Adam Yellowbird's on the line, and you had the, and talk about the gathering of the ancestors that you had, and what you feel, why you did that, and what these people are bringing to the present.
First of all, I want to honor you, get for everyone listening, and your dedication to this program, also to my relative there, Yap, also dedication to working in this message. And the question why I would be doing something of this nature, because I have a longing and a dedication to the Mother Earth and to humanity. And I found myself on this path and this journey to be aligned with the indigenous people and the remembrance that I come from a lineage of an indigenous heritage and culture myself. And something that has, you know, possibly been lost in many European cultures.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, maybe we'll call you right back because the line's a little shaky. But, yeah, I'm really interested in what you have to say. So Don is going to just give you a call right back, okay?
Okay.
Okay. But, Yap,
yes.
How do you fit that in, the fact that, you know, we're moving into a new time, and yet the past is still affecting us in a positive way. So how do we take really the good parts of the past and leave the dogma behind? It's so hard to separate dogma from wisdom sometimes. That's really the question.
Yes. You know, and in that sense, for me, there is an answer, the same answer to almost all those different questions. How do you work with crystal skulls? How do you connect with what I call the information that is truly important? Well, there are two aspects to that. In the first place, we all are a part of the puzzle. So we are all holding a different aspect of the information of the total. So we all have to find our own unique path. And that's why we see this diversity. And that's why I already mentioned that diversity is so important, because there is not one human being who can hold all the information. We are going to do it together. If you go into the legend of the crystal skulls, the 13th crystal skull, there's a lot of discussion, you know. People believe that there were 12 crystal skulls, 12 information systems given to the earth, and they had the form of a crystal skull. That is what the summary of many different indigenous beliefs is. But it was never clear what the 13th is. And the 13th, to my opinion, Alan, is that as a we. We are the 13th crystal skull. We are the ones who have to bring all the knowledge together into a oneness that helps the whole mankind to shift. And this is what we are actually seeing right now. And that's why the indigenous people are so important, because they hold many pieces of the puzzle, and we cannot do the total puzzle without them.
Without the old pieces, without the pieces of the original form of humanity already having had the structure and in play. Adam's back on the line. Adam, did you hear what Yap just said?
Yes, the original people. I apologize. I've been blowing out some electronics here these last few days in communication. So yes, I do, and I'm not sure how much you heard, you know, about what I shared there, and gratitude and thanks for all the work that you both are doing here and having me on the show here. This is, I've been listening to the show at a very important time right now for New York, for the center. It's like the heart of what they call, some call Babylon too, you know, especially for the youth. And I don't know if New York City really knows quite yet what's about to happen there.
Well, and, what do you think is about to happen? Because, what
you all were talking about, firing the grid, I believe that's a big part of it. The activation, I believe, will take place is when the ancestors, the return of the ancestors being the Maya being the people, the ancestral memory of each of these relatives, these people that are coming, like Yap, is holding this memory. And when we come with that intention in here, into New York, and said that, it's going to be reawakening that ancestral memory. And I believe that it's going to activate, which potentially could be a city of not such high vibration or light, will reawaken a city of light. Mm-hmm. And I can already see that through previous work being done there in New York City and around the country at these metropolis, you know, regions.
Right.
They say the Mayans say we're at the time of the 13 Ahau and 13 Baktun. 13 Baktun and 13 Ahau, sorry about that. And we have left the era of the nine hells, and that ended in 1987.
I know, the harmonic convergence. I was there. I mean, I celebrated that ending of the ninth hell that began when Cortez invaded the Yucatan in 1519. And there were 52-year cycles leading up to August 16th, 1987, when we came down to this last 25-year countdown, which we're only 2 years away from, I feel, the major transformation of our age, the 2012 date.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going to be a phenomenal for those of you that can participate in the city of New York or from wherever you are, outreaches from around the world. It would be a phenomenal experience to tune into this through the media, through your meditation or attunement, however you choose to do so. Again, with the presence of these, the heads of the mind, you have to remember also they've called in at this Crystal Skull meeting some of the heads of the Maya people, which will be here. And it's a rarity. I'm not sure in what time and what era they have met in such a manner in such a big city. So this will be a historical and her story event there. And I think there'll be a lot blossoming that will be completely unexpected from this gathering, from this reunion.
Well, I feel that. I feel the light is already entering the city. I feel like a certain shift in the vibration here. And it's not such a real a dark place. I mean, I think there's a lot darker places on the planet. I find it really quite an amazing, friendly, generous, open, loving space. But then, of course, it's where you're coming from. But I do find New York and Sedona is another one of my favorite places on the planet. But I take Manhattan and Sedona are two stone cities that are bringing a new consciousness in. But what is the secrets that the ancient people have? I mean, they have a knowledge, but why are they coming forward? And what do they want to tell us now?
Their messages are pretty basic and simple. They want us to remember, awaken, and be reconnected. We have been disconnected with the Mother Earth. And when I say remember, it's not what necessarily with the mind capacity. We're putting the parts back together, the memory circuit or system, which in combination with these crystal skulls will activate that. So they want us to wake up. They want us to remember the natural world, remember the earth, air, fire, and water. And those teachings were in every culture, not just, let's say, the native indigenous of the Americas, but the indigenous peoples of all cultures. And I think that's what's taking place. That's what they want us to remember. Go back to, if you're Hebrew, or your cultural roots, you know, your traditions from way back. And a lot of the information is right under our nose. If you understood the culture or from those traditions, all of the information that is needed is in their robes or their garbs or their attires or in the tools that they're using of today. So what I'm talking about is like there, as you see, the Maya would have very brilliant fabrics and colors and patterns. That information is embedded in their bags and shirts and that's the encoding in scripture that delivers the message. Just like we would have the downloads and uploads from the computers, it was hidden also in the clothes and the instruments. I find this to be in many cultures, also on their bags. You'll find the symbologies to help awaken people.
Tell me about the Kogis. I've done a couple of shows with the Kogis. The Kogis were the one of the few tribes that were not conquered by the Spanish, and about 10 or 15 years ago, they came down, and they call themselves the Elder Brothers, and they're here to say, we better do something about this planet. But tell me about your interaction and what you know of the Kogis.
Well, what's so awesome from what I see, spending time with them, I've been going down there every few months, is that they're still nomadic. They have a system, a govern, and a responsibilities throughout their leadership roles and responsibilities in each aspect of communal living and a way of life. But that's how they would be able to communicate. And they also didn't, the mamas, the high priests and priestess, never lost the high, what I call high technology, or they never lost the telepathic communication. And they utilize the sacred sites, or they call here in around Sedona vortexes. They utilize the land, the grid system, to send their messages as relays. So wherever they were out in the mountains, they could get it. So they knew prior to the paramilitary and the military and the drug lords in the 80s that came in what was going to take place. And the elders never lost their position and their closeness to the fire. They've always kept the fire to this day. The heart.
So what do they have to tell us? How can we start to live that way? I guess more connected to the earth and all that. But do they have something specific they're here to say now to us?
I just spent some time with them, and the last message was that we each had a purpose. It's no one to blame. You know, the Europeans did this, the conquistadors did this. Everyone had their divine purpose in this plan. And for us to utilize all these experiences that have been, you know, that we've been going through for the last several hundred years and come together to actually be in this day, in this time, not of the past, not of the future, and to be in this time and once again work together as brothers would, as families would, as communities would. So this is something so basic. And they want us to, I believe, my interpretation is, regather the fabric of life, which would be, in today's terms, the everything that we garb ourselves with and we put and we design our clothes and we design our attire to go present ourselves to the world, is to take such simple things and bring those back together and work. They want to work together. They would like to see government and people united. They want to see the world leaders working once again with all indigenous and all peoples, white, yellow, red, or black, working together in these times.
And to work with the natural energies of the earth. I mean, we have to acknowledge the resource and the value of the earth itself. That, I think, is the most important knowledge.
Can I jump in, Alan,
yeah,
for a
moment?
Yeah,
please, Jop. I was going to ask you to. Yes,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the fundamental messages, if you look and listen to any of the indigenous people, and Adam knows many more than I do, but is that actually what they're asking us is to become aware. Yeah. It is the full awareness of how we live, what we do, what we say, what we eat, and that is what their example is. They haven't lost the awareness. So they are aware of what the effect is of what they do. And we have lost that awareness. We don't know what the effect is of action A, B, or Z. We don't. We have
lost the ability to follow
the flow of the energy of every action, of every thought. And it may sound like, wow, now you're going very far. But if you really listen to what they tell us, you know, they talk about our disconnection. It's exactly that. We are not aware anymore. So we also are not aware, or some people would say we cannot feel anymore, the consequences of our actions. Mm-hmm. So when they talk to reconnection, they ask us actually to become aware. And what is so beautiful, Adam, is what you shared about the Gogi, exactly that is that. They are so aware that the colors of their clothes have an effect because they know it has an effect. And most of us wear colors because they look beautiful or they are the right style or whatever it is that we do, but we are not aware of the effect of the clothes that we wear. We don't. And that is what I think is so important. And when I earlier said that we are in a time frame where we need all the pieces of the puzzle to finally make it complete, in all our way of working, we now have quantum physics. So we begin to understand certain things that the Gogi, for example, are doing through feeling. And we have to bring those two elements together to go to a different level. And it's so beautiful what Adam is describing, because it's exactly what we are talking about. How can we expand the awareness? And we earlier talked how crystal skulls can help with that. But the ancient indigenous people are all the time inviting us, please be more aware of what you're doing.
That's a great point. Thank you so much for adding that. And that's something that's very practical and people can use. Start right now with being aware of everything you do and every product you use and how much garbage we're making. I mean, there's so much to work with right here in this moment. And
one more quick thing. What the elders want us to do is remember the children. They want us to go to the children, the innocence of the children, and to the youth of today, and bring them into these circles, bring them back to the center. And they're waiting. The youth of today are waiting for us to invite them to these crystal skull conferences, invite them back to the circles, invite them back to the altar, invite them back to the home. They're out on the streets. So I would encourage those that are listening, go find the youth, the children, the people that are in need, the young ones. And they want us to bring back that innocence and the ones that can visualize a new world and help us set this grid, help us set this energy.
Well, I want to invite all the children out there to come to this event in New York. You know, maybe we'll make a special arrangement for children under 12 or something to just come in, because if I feel it's really important that they are there and they do participate in this event, at least here, where, you know, the future does belong to the children. So I would love to see a lot of young people participate and be there and just be in the presence of whatever's going to take place. So that is a really important point, too. Thank you for bringing that in.
There's one other thing about the children.
Yes.
If we really, really want to resolve the tendency of duality in our world, you know, then we don't need only the masculinity and the femininity, but we need the third element to complete the triangle. And that's the child. That's the innocence. And I'm so happy that Adam brings that in, because that is the future. The future is not duality. The future is oneness. And the oneness is symbolized by the triangle, of which the third point is the child. It's the innocence. It's the exploration. It's, again, playing. It's, again, joy. That's what they bring in. Thank you,
Adam. So let's invite the children to this event in New York and see, because their minds are so fresh and open and not already structured with old thoughts, that when the new energies do come in, they may be the first to realize the new potential. So, you know, it's the children that will lead the way. You know, the other question I wanted to just throw out there and talk about is this idea of prophecies. You know, the Mayans have their prophecies, probably the Kogi. Can we be specific in these prophecies? Have you heard anything specific, Adam, and maybe Yap too, about what some of these indigenous cultures are saying or will say or what will happen? Do you have anything like that?
Yes. Do we co-consciously, co-creatively want to create? It's like the living prophecy. We can fulfill our vision and dream, but if we have perceived and enlightened and awakened prior to these prophesized visions, then we are the change. We become the change, and the prophecies change. So it's about our awareness and our being awakened. We all know, everyone knows the prophecies at this time. 2012, potentials, the beginning, the end. But it's about us here today. What do we vision? What do we dream? So everything changes in the universe, and we can make a difference. So very briefly, you know, we, instead of feeding into those, into the great tidal waves and the great fires and the earths and the winds and the hurricanes, we turn that back to ourselves today, and we transform and transmit that living prophecy into the new day, into the new dawn, what we all want to see. So that would be my attire and vision for all of us to hold when we prepare ourselves for this conference.
Well, that's one thing I would like to throw out there at the conference, is to ask people to dream the new dream, you know, and create it out of the joy of experience, and to let go of the suffering of the past, you know. So I ask people to dream a new dream, and let's see what the source, the creation has in store when we actively choose to live in this place of caring and love and sharing. And let's see what great future will unfold that we have yet to know.
Yeah, we call it the healing of the ancestral memory. We drop that. If we all can heal and rise and lift ourselves as above, we're going to heal this ancestral memory, and then we'll be here now. We are the ones we have been waiting for.
Yeah. It is a healing. It's like going back into some old family karma and say, you know, I'm going to forgive my father and mother and move forward. It's like this, all this fighting and this war for the last 3 or 4, probably 5,000 years since the beginning of the Mayan long count, probably, is something that now needs to be resolved and say, okay, that's the past, and there's a brighter future. And then I think when we do that, we enter a new heaven and a new earth. We become galactic citizens. We meet higher intelligences that are just waiting for this coherency of the field to manifest, so we can be greeted into a greater humanity, a greater a community of beings. What do you have to say,
Yael? Alan, this is so unbelievable true, because if you look into all the different grid systems, the grid systems hold the energy of the past. And you can say that everything that we have been created but not have yet transformed is waiting to be transformed. And the best way to transform it is through one simple word, that's love. So when we come together in an event like New York, and we are able to create a coherent energy field that is based on love and respect for mankind, for ourselves in the first place, because otherwise we can't do it for the rest of the world, that energy carried by the gathering, the crystal skulls, is the one that literally transforms all the energy that are holding us in the lower vibrations. You know, the ones that, you know, that have been created by lack of awareness, so that we could do things to each other, that now when we look at it, it's like, how is that possible? It's only possible because we were not aware. And with this increasing awareness that we so strongly are invited to by the indigenous people, we can go more to our heart, find that balance between heaven and earth, because we are living connections between heaven and earth. And in that process, we don't have to put much effort in. Automatically, being in this different vibration, the systems
that we call the grid systems are beginning to change. Our collective consciousness is beginning to change. Open the doorways for this beautiful transformation that we are talking about that will then create the shift.
Yeah, well, thank you. As you were talking, I was getting the vision of like a recipe. So we have all these elements that we're putting into this big bowl to make this really fine tasting meal. I mean, the crystal skulls there will set a kind of feel to coherence. And then we have the indigenous elders bringing their wisdom. And then we have us, we who are opening to a new level of understanding that's filling in the recipe with this new flavors. And then we have something totally unique and different that will start to set a form for the planet to exist within a new matrix. So that's really what I'm saying. A new matrix is being formed, and I think it's going to take its shape in New York on 10-10, 10-9, October 9th and 10th. And that's what I'm getting talking to you guys here.
Yes, I totally agree with that. But I love your idea of the recipe. I never thought about that. I'm going to use that one, Alan.
Yeah, you can use that one. And so I think what Adam's doing is really important too, bringing these indigenous people together to share knowledge, because we're living in a time where we're one planet. We really are a global village. And, you know, when Marshall McLuhan used that word in the 1960s, no one had any idea what he was talking about. And now everyone knows what that means. So, yeah, Adam, yes.
I really like to honor Adam as well, because we have worked together in a number of occasions, Adam, and I really always have enjoyed the work that you have been doing. You know, and I love it that Adam is bringing in more information about the Kogi people, because I know and feel that the Kogi people still have that ability to tap into the different grid systems so that they know what's going on in this world. And they know that it's time for them, through different people like Adam, to begin to share their knowledge and their approach to contribute to this shift. And that is so beautiful. And they know that we are more ready than we were before, because they literally feel in the grids the shift that is already occurring. And I'm absolutely convinced that they will feel and sense an event like New York. They will. Because, as we know, there are local and non-local energies, and subtle energies are non-local. They are at the same time everywhere. Not always easy to understand, but they will know it.
Mm. Yeah, yes. Adam. Yeah, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say, Alan? No,
I was going to say, what do you feel the Kogis will tune into about what's happening in New York?
I've already told them. I've got the tie with a thread. I've been in communication. They know that we're coming in, and they'll be sending, they look at New York City as like, they come from the heart of the world, and you have one of your main arteries running into New York City. And so they'll be pumping, I'm sure, all that prayer, all that material and spiritual energy for the balance, for the understanding for us. So when we're there, and we'll send the message to them when we're there, that they'll be in tune and tied into us to help amplify that positive affirmation of what we're doing there. And then I'll go back to them afterwards and ask them what they have received and come to an understanding. But, you know, they don't necessarily have to be there in the city. That's why there's people like myself as a bridge being and Yacht to be there so that we can help administrate and help anchor that. And we also call in all those other of the most highest light people that can help us do that. And they'll be, you know, it's like a radio. Like we're on here, they're tuning in and they're listening. And when they have the receptors and the people in the bridge to help them, it makes it a little easier. So they will definitely be aware of it, and we'll get their
reports. Just as you're talking, you know what I'm thinking? It would be great if we could give a crystal skull to the Kogis. Well, not one of the ancient ones, but one of the modern ones that were at the New York event that had encoded in it the vibration of what happened there. And maybe that skull could just be on stage the whole time, and then we can give it as a gift to for you to take back to the Kogis as
I think you're getting the right clear message. That's what also they've been waiting for. I didn't mention that, but I'll be leaving from the gathering. I'll be down there in November, leaving there. And they told me you'll be bringing back the crystals. They said you'll come back with the crystals to the Sierra, and that'll help set that energy so that they can be in correspondence with New York City. I think that's really important. Another aspect, what they wanted to know with the crystals and the crystal skulls is the metals, the golds, the bronze, the silvers, the coppers, and specifically they always, the ancient cultures worked with the high golds. And what they're asking for is a calling, not only with the crystals, because they use it in combination with the cotton, the crystal, and the gold to make an offering back to the heart of the world. And so that's also what we're doing, is we'll be taking gold down there so that they can be gifted back to them with the crystals. And if that was to be, we could take that crystal skull, infuse it and charge with that intention of this reunion and gathering from the heart of New York City to the heart of the world. I think that would be fabulous.
Well, let's do that. Yap, remind me to mention that. We'll get one of the crystal skulls. We'll keep it up on stage. It'll absorb the energy of all the people and the presenters and the music and everything. And we'll give that and whatever else you think back to the Kogis as a honoring of who they are. And for keeping the sort of the life force happening in the heart of the world going, that maintains this dream, you know. So I think that could really be fun.
I think it's so beautiful to do that, because what we do is we use an ancient way of communicating. You know, it's known that in the past they used smaller crystal skulls as witnessing crystal skulls, and downloaded that in the major skull that they were used for their ceremonies. They didn't want to bring that skull around. They used it as witnesses. So it's so beautiful to select a crystal skull as a witness of this powerful event, to share it with them, to honor them, because they are now sharing with us. And as I said, that we are all very important pieces of the puzzle. We need the Gogi as much as they need us to allow mankind to make that shift. So to communicate in this way that is so known by the ancient people is very, very beautiful. Great idea, Alan.
That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do that in New York, because this has been my city. I'd like to pick this skull and call it the witness of this, and then give it to Adam to take to the heart of the world in the Sierra Nevadas in Colombia, where the Kogis live. And pouring all the love into that, I think it could be a message, even though they don't need the physical thing, but it could be a message that, you know, maybe the world is changing, and that something
But it's happens. Also an acknowledgement of the fact that we are aware of them, and the understanding that this is a time for gathering. Well, you can gather directly in force, you can gather in spirit, and you can gather with each other by sharing with each other through different communication systems like a crystal skull. And in that sense, I think, it's a beautiful idea. What do you think, Adam?
Well, I totally agree. Before I left them just a few weeks ago, we were at an international peace summit with 5 delegates from the Sierra, the Kogi, and Iwako, and they said, you will return. They told me that I'll be returning with crystals, so I think you just totally tapped in and tuned in, and that's part of what they want us to awaken to as this exchange. And they said it would be the crystals that would come back, and people would awaken to that to start giving these offerings back to the earth, along with some of the precious metals and things to return back to the heart of the world, and that would invigorate and enliven the heart of Mother Earth again to help us all.
Wow, this is 100%
right on.
That's great. I'm getting really excited about this possibility of this sort of energetic exchange that the Kogis are and the Arawaku are welcoming, and it's like also an acknowledgement of who we are as beings as well, you know.
Yes, and that we begin to become more equal, that we begin to acknowledge that we need to do it together. That is, I think, the underlying essence. Our energy needs to contribute. Your energy needs to contribute. So as we come to the we need to come to that feeling of we all together. Yeah. And that, in that sense, I would say the song "We Are the World" is so beautiful because that's exactly what it is. You know, we are the world.
We are the world, and we're coming together as one world. You know, it's
exactly.
It's only when we all live in coherency that true evolution happens. We you know, evolution, according to, well, Bruce Lipton, who I love, he's a theoretical biologist, goes from the one to the many to the one, and the next phase is that we need to come from is this many diversity coming to the one, but honoring our differences. So it's not just individual differences, but it's the cultural differences that need to maintain their uniqueness because they all have a different perspective on the source of life, you know, and we need to know that.
True. And that's why it's so important to honor and for, you can say, the people of the Western society not trying to take over literally other systems, but to really find our own unique system. Well, what we need to learn from our brothers and sisters from the indigenous tribes is that we need to become aware again, that we need to get out of that sleeping state, you know, believing that there is only one way to approach the world, and that's through the mind. So we go back from the mind, we go back to the heart, so that we from the heart begin to become aware of our environment and our actions. That is their prayer for us, I think, Adam, isn't it? And I think that is also what we need to respond to, but we then need to find our own uniqueness to contribute to the whole. We cannot copy anything that is not ours. We have to find our own unique form.
Right, because that's why we're here. We're here to live our uniqueness. Yeah, what were you saying, Adam?
As we're speaking, I get the total. I've been getting chills over here as we're evolving in this conversation and delivering this message around the world through this internet radio. I just wanted to share that. I think we're following the divine spirit at the same time. I think this is a ceremony that we're doing and setting this intention here and now, and we are fulfilling, you know, great, vast things that we can't even imagine of right now. Briefly, I want to mention something. I know we've got to wrap it up probably here quick.
We're okay. You can take your time.
Oh, we're good. There will be another gathering, a great gathering taking place, and the next one will be in South America. And that's all I'm going to say for right now until all the documentations are, you know, delivered and everything of that nature, but we'll stay tuned on that. Sort of a little cliffhanger for those that are listening, but there will be another welcoming and a great gathering for all to continue the work that we're doing here.
I mean, sometime next year, you think, we'll be gathering?
Yeah, 2011. There are many of the elders in the mountains with their fires and sacred ceremonies going in. It usually takes them a few weeks to council, which we call the great councils of the grand elders, of the bigger brothers, the wise ones, the mamos, however you want to, you know, state that, and that will be coming soon, and we might even have the information at the gathering, at the 10-10-10 Crystal Skull Gathering in New York City for you.
Well, it'd be great to announce it. Are you going to be there on the 9th?
Yes, I will, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm looking forward to meeting you all and spending some more time with Yap and helping support the system, the energy, and just hold that space and help lift and awaken the people and keep smiling. Be happy, you know?
Life. No, I love this kind of co-creative, you know, synergy that we I've just created here. You're right. It felt like a ceremony to me and a kind of download of of a kind of cosmic consciousness, sort of, you know, just the ideas coming through.
Yeah, and what a beautiful preparation and what a beautiful gathering we have here as an introduction to the coming up event, because this is what we want the event to be. What we have created, the three of us here, is, you can almost say, a little taste of what we want to create during that event in New York. In that sense, I like what you say about ceremony, because there are terms that I always hear people using when we work with crystal skulls, that actually working with crystal skulls is a ceremony. And then I have to have the Mayan elders coming to join us and doing their ceremonies to support our ceremony with the crystal skulls. That is beautiful. In that sense, I love the word, Adam, to bring in, because it is actually a continuous ceremony. And this is as much part of the event that is happening in on the 9th and the 10th as the 9th and the 10th itself.
Right. I mean, you say it's ceremony, and what I also get from that is it's ceremony, it's sacred, because it shifts consciousness. Working with the crystal skulls and being in that field, you can't go back to your old way of thinking. I mean, you can if you wanted to, but they facilitate something more, a greater connection. So that's what I get when you say ceremony like that.
You know, and I think if you really continue working with crystal skulls and you feel guided to do that, and as you know, there are now 10,000, if not 100,000 of people that are doing that, now you have almost no choice than to move forward. It's almost like a warning. Know that you will move forward, no way back, you know, when you work with crystal skulls.
Right, the door slams behind you. They can't go back to the past.
Exactly. Yes,
but that's, you know, that's really true of anyone on a spiritual path. It's like once you step on the path, there really is no going back, because, like you said, awareness starts to take over. And, you know, you can't, once you're aware, that you, it's hard to go unconscious again, you know?
Yes.
So,
you know, and that's why I like the word awareness, because I know that we tend to use the word consciousness, but as I mentioned early, consciousness is infinite. And we can use of that infinite consciousness a certain segment, and then we have the tendency to split it up into the third dimension and the fourth dimension and whatever dimensions. But what is the only thing that's truly important for us is not to think in which dimensions we are. It is in what aspect of consciousness can we use? What is our awareness, really? And that journey is so stimulated through any form of ceremony, and I call meditation with crystal skulls, in a sense, is a ceremony. So it doesn't matter what we use and how we prepare. What matters is the intent, the openness of the heart. And then we can work with anybody, from the Kogis to the Mayans to the Western people, because we then begin to realign through that magic word, love, that helps us to connect with those elements of consciousness that is expanding our awareness so that we can work together.
Well, that's exactly what I see for this event in New York. I think from beginning to end, I think it can be a ceremony where people are entering a sacred space, a different way of being, because a new grid will already be set by having just all those skulls, ancient skulls, in the same place. So they'll be entering a space where an opportunity to think different, a new coherent field will be available. So I see that those 2 days in New York and beyond as a kind of ceremony, as a 48-hour, you know, shift that will maybe shift a lot of people in totally unique and surprising directions. So that's my intention.
Yes, and definitely, let's say, it gives the possibility for people to be shifting. We live still in a world where we have to make our own choices, but it is so wonderful to co-create together this field that gives so many more people than those that are attending the opportunity, if they choose to expand, to grow from, to change, whatever they want to do with it.
Right. Well, thank you both for being a guest on this program, New Realities. So, Adam, just give people your website and your information, and you said there might be something coming up soon. But
yes, stay tuned. You can take a look at www.ica8.org, and the telephone number you can reach us at is 928-852-0112. And we can also give you further information for upcoming national and international gatherings of the elders and their latest and greatest information. And all the new organizations and networks that are joining all of us as we are here in this conference coming together. And I just want to give a great thanks also to Kendall, you know, for putting this together. You know, my love, gratitude, and thanks to Kendall and everything that you've done.
Definitely Kendall Morgan out of Tucson, Oracle Stone Productions, is the one contacted me, said, let's do this thing in New York. I said, great. And he pulled all these people together. So it's happening. And and then I got the Edgar Casey Center involved because they're a great resource here. So and then all you guys. So what's that website again? ICH?
www.ica8.org.
ICA, okay. And that's your organization.
And we'll have some new great information coming out. We're actually revamping everything at this time, so stay tuned. Have patience with us. For those that are listening, we'll be shifting and delivering many new concepts and ideas coming out. And again, the phone number is 928-852-0112.
Well, thank you. And Yap, please give people your information. And Yap will be there, Master of Ceremonies, in New York, October 9th and 10th, with his knowledge, lecturing as well about his great research. So tell people how to find you and contact you.
Well, they can find me on our website, which is www.lemurantis, that is lemurantis.com. It's actually the first five letters of Lemuria and the last five of Atlantis.
Oh, I see. That's good.
You know, both systems did not really work out, so let's find something new. That's actually the message that the name Lemurantis gives.
So, any final words you'd like to leave us with, you know, as people prepare for this conference and, you know, take something to chew on for the next 2 weeks until we can meet everybody there?
Yeah, what I would like to say to people is follow your heart. You know from your heart whether or not you want to be part of this. If you really feel that you like to use an opportunity to really expand your awareness, you will know that New York City on the 9th and the 10th will be your place to be in that particular event that has already been mentioned now many times.
And Adam, you had something you wanted to leave people with too, right?
Yes. Come with an open heart, open mind, and come with no expectations. So that's what I have to leave you with, and look forward to meeting everyone. I love each and every one of you, and this day I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to share this and be a part of this experience with all of you.
Thank you both. This has been a very exciting, insightful conversation for me. I'm really happy to you know, have you both here as you know, as way showers for a new dawn.
It was truly a pleasure to be with you, Ellen, and I'm very happy that my friend Adam is also here.
Yeah.
Yes, I love you, and howdy, neighbor.
Yeah, okay.
Right, these guys live in Sedona. But I look forward to meeting you both at this conference in New York or maybe a few days before. And again, this conference is October 9th and 10th in New York City. at the FIT Conference Center, which is 28th Street, 7th Avenue, and you can buy tickets for that at the EdgarCaseyCenter.nyc.org or CrystalSkullEvents.com. You go to that website and also get information about tickets, or my website, NewRealities.com. There's a little banner there where you can click on and also download tickets. You can call 212-691-7690 during the day to order tickets, and you can also call 212-473-6388 for information. So thank you for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld with New Realities.
Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. Feel the fire, come alive. Feel the fire, come alive. Strange to fly the night, alone in deep space. Never know, no such fire in the